Yeah, today's message is called truth, and it's funny. It's just a word that kind of popped in my head, and it's like, this is what we need to talk about. Having no clue where this message is going to go. You ever do those? Well, probably you don't get messages a lot, so you may not happen to you. But you know, it's just like sometimes God gives me a title, then I'm to figure out what the message is, and it's like, so it's kind of neat. I think. The message we have today is more a story of scripture verses that lead us to where we need to go. So I kind of have that feeling in terms of how, that's how it is. So I want to kind of relate it in that fashion there as we begin and go through looking at truth in terms of what is truth. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father Almighty, it is a special time to be able to be here and just to kind of read your word and just to absorb that which you have for us. I pray for the Holy Spirit that we rely on so much for everything in terms of our guidance, in terms of our understanding, our wisdom, to be active and in our bodies and not just around us and just in this wall, but inside of us so that the God's Word is working deep inside and moving things around and reshuffling, throwing things out, bringing in new, and just filling us with the glory of God. Father, that's what we need, and that's what we need to be basking in. And I just pray for that to happen here. I think it happens a lot. I think it happens when we listen to other pastors speaking, other messages throughout the week. I think it happens when we read scripture. I think it's when we're sharing a word that comes to us with someone else. When we're doing your work, Lord, it's amazing how you can manifest yourself and glorify all of that and just make it a beautiful moment. Pray for that to happen right here and right now. And this I pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to begin, first of all, looking at the in Scripture. Most every Scripture that I have is New Testament. And when Tom was talking about John 16, I'm like, ooh. So I had to get out there, and I'm looking in this John 16. It was not the same verses that we're going to be talking about today. But it was, because I have quite a few John verses in here too, because John talks an awful lot about truth, even in the Gospels. And if you look at the number of times truth is actually mentioned in Scripture, I don't know, it's like over 200, maybe 300 times, which is, you know, for the number of words that are there, you know, maybe not a lot, but there's a consistency of truth through the entire Scripture. And it's something that I feel that we really need to connect to and make sure that it's right. So we're going to start right off with a Scripture verse where Jesus is being held on trial by Pilate. And Pilate doesn't really want to crucify Jesus, but all of the Jewish leaders do, because he's kind of a renegade. He's a guy that just doesn't fit into the normal realm of what we expect, you know, of who God's supposed to be. And this guy's claiming to be God. We don't want him as God. We want our God, you know, basically a God that they think that they're worshiping. But look at what Pilate has to say when he's in conversation with Jesus. Can you just click on the screen someplace with a mouse? Yeah. It just has to activate. There it goes. Thank you. So John 18, 37 through 38, he says, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Because that was the whole deal, you know, because that was the kind of the threat. Because Caesar's the king and there can be no other king. And so if Jesus admits to being a king, well, then there's opposition with Caesar. Look what Jesus answered. He says, "You are right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then Pilate comes up with this question: what is truth? And I want to take this a little bit in terms from Pilate's perspective. All right, he's a governor. basically what he is a politician. Now, I'm not up here to bash politicians, but there's an awful lot of truths out there. If you talk to this politician, you get one truth. You talk to this politician, you get another truth. You talk to another politician, you get another truth. You talk to the people, you get another truth. You talk to the president, you get a different truth. You talk to other people, you get all these truths. And Jesus is saying that people, I've come here to relay what the truth is, right? To testify to the truth. And Pilate's like, what truth? Really, that's what he's saying. I know so many different truths out there, and there's people that can convince one person to believe that truth, another person over here can convince another person to believe that truth, and the two of them will go to war until both people are annihilated because they're fighting for the truth. So Pilate's asking him, what is truth? From his perspective, truth is arbitrary. Truth is subjective. Truth is whatever you want to believe in. But Jesus is saying, no, I've come here to testify to the truth. That absolute truth. The one that we really are seeking. That's why we're here today. So I pray that as we go through Scripture, that we'll come to a realization of what truth is and how it leads us into where we need to be in our walk with God and our relationship with God. You know, Jesus had an awful lot of confrontations with individuals. And some of his confrontations that were kind of went negative were some of the leaders of the Jewish church. And they would question him. And Jesus, a lot of times, would give an answer, and sometimes that would just, you know, shut them up because they can't respond based upon what Jesus' response is. Sometimes their response was that Jesus would respond with a question, and if they could answer the question, then Jesus would respond. And a lot of times they couldn't respond and answer that question because they were more concerned about what the people would say in reference to their answer. Very direct questions. And then there's times where Jesus gave them an answer and they didn't like the answer. Hence, that's one of the reasons why they wanted to get rid of him. Because Jesus didn't really paint a very good picture of what the leaders of the church really were like. You whitewashed tombs. I mean, if somebody called you that, is that going to be your best friend? Probably not. Unless you wanted to find out where this person was coming from. And you really wanted to know their ideas and their perception of why they would have called, you know, the leaders a whitewashed tomb. You know? So Jesus was saying to these individuals that are claiming to be Abraham's descendants. Right? These are all Jewish people, so we all come out of Abraham. And because we're out of Abraham, then we are blessed by God. And we have an inheritance with God, regardless of whatever it is that we do because of our lineage. We are Jews through and through. We are God's chosen people through and through. That will never, ever change, is what they're saying. And Jesus challenges that. And the people are coming back saying, we are, you know, Jesus telling Jesus, we are not illegitimate children. We are the direct descendants of Abraham, and we are of the line of the Levites and stuff. And this is how we, who we are, based upon, you know, our forefathers all the way through. But let's see what Jesus has to say to these individuals here. In John, I can't read that, 8:42-47, it says, Jesus said to them that if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have now come on my own, or I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. Now, right there, I mean, this is when Jesus really speaks. When he speaks, you know, he kind of gets their attention. And maybe there might be a few hairs sticking up on the back of their neck and stuff when he says things like this, because it's pretty point blank. But he speaks about the devil, and he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Wow. We know the end result of what's going to happen to our lives. It's going to be one of two things. Either we're going to be in heaven with God, or we're going to be in hell with Satan. Forever, yeah. Where would you want to be? I mean, maybe that's a pointed question. Would you want to be the father, be with someone that speaks the truth? Or would you want to be with someone that's the father of lies and wants nothing to do with truth? Because our actions make a difference. They speak, you know, in terms of who we are in our walk with God. And maybe sometimes the control that we might have, when someone might anger us in terms of how do we respond to that. Well, I always think of how would Jesus respond. There's times where he was pretty strong, and there's other times he was just as gentle as could be. He knew what an individual needed. But he also gave us guidelines in terms of how we should act. He really tells us that within ourselves that we shouldn't be quarreling about insignificant things. Right? We need to be gentle to instruct individuals into the truth. Because that's what's important. A lot of times we know that there's been words that have said that the truth hurts. And it can be painful to find out some truths. I know I've heard some stories, you know, through that Ancestry.com, you know, where all of a sudden you found out that you had a brother that you didn't know, or a stepbrother, or, you know, there's your family's quite a bit larger than what it was, but there were certain secrets that were kept, and now all of a sudden that starts to come out, and that can be painful. Because you had no clue that stuff like that had passed. So we have to be careful how we respond to telling the truth. The scripture speaks about that too in 2 Timothy 2:22-26. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish, stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. No, I think those are important words that we need to have. Right? We need to have a certain demeanor. We need to be careful that we don't offend someone else. So I'm not saying it's not that we're not telling them the truth, but sometimes it's the way we present stuff. The way we come to that individual, or just our quick response all the way through. But what God is saying here is that we have to have an essence of us, of who God's character is inside of us. It says, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them the repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Right? So part of our job as Christians is to help those that are snared by Satan's lies. How do we do that?
Gently. Huh?
What's that?
Gently.
To repentance, yes. And we can look at what the repentance then leads to what? The knowledge of
the truth. And the truth sets you free.
That's one of my verses. It's going to be coming up. I knew the best we're going to get right down into that. It's important that the truth be told, but it needs to be told in love. We are those vessels in which to do that. And as Scripture is saying here, this Paul is speaking to Timothy, which is going to be a leader of a church and everything, is to speak in love. Right? It's maybe too easy to start lashing out when someone lashes out at you, just to follow suit. And it might be, maybe you were growing up in a family where there was an awful lot of lashing out, and it's a natural tendency for you to do that. But you know, the ways of the world and the ways of God don't really mix. And we have to be careful working on that. Because Jesus even says, you know, to individuals that are sinful people, that there's going to come a time that we are going to be worshiping. And when we worship, we're going to worship in two different ways. We're going to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. And when Jesus was at the well speaking to this woman who had been married 5 times, I think, and now she's married, or not even married, but living with a gentleman. You know, she's living a life of sin. And yet Jesus speaks to her in this loving fashion that we've just been reading about here. And because of that, she believes. And what does she do? But she goes and tells all of her friends. They all come over and spend time with Jesus. And because of her witnessing, many came to believe in Jesus. But look at the words that Jesus said to her in Ephesians. Oh, am I in the right one? Yeah, Ephesians 4:14. Oh, no, I'm going to jump back over here. I have to go one more. I think I skipped one. That John 4:23-24 says, "Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Like what Tom was saying earlier, you know, what does it mean if God knows you more than yourself? Right? He knows. You don't have to put on a face. If you feel like you need to cry before the Lord, then cry before the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. If you feel like rejoicing, rejoice with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants you, as Pastor said, just to be who you are. You know, you don't need to put on a facade or anything like that. Because if we do, if we start to take, you know, ideas from individuals because it sounds good, take something from this book because it sounds good. And I remember this one student I had at school. We were talking, this was a long, long time ago, and she was saying, well, she said, "I'm studying the religions, and what I'm doing is I'm taking the good out of every religion, and that's who, you know, that's what I worship." I said, "So you're just making your own God." And she just looked at me like, "What?" I said, "That's what you're doing. You're taking what you think is good here, what is good from here, and what is good from there, putting it all together, and you're forming an image of what you think God is." I said, "For me, it's not that way. There's only one God. And I have to form myself around that God to understand Him. Because the truth is already set out there." Right.
What matters is that Jesus is the only risen one.
Mm.
That's it. There is, you can look at Buddha, the Dalai Lama. They're not risen. They've never been risen.
That's right.
Jesus is the only risen one.
Yep. Yep. And like I said, there's good in other things. I understand that. You know, there's churches that are non-Christian that treat people nicely, but their doctrine doesn't lead them to eternity. It's just to good people and stuff. So when we come over here, let's look at this Ephesians 4:14 through 16, and it says, "Then we will no longer be infants." In terms of when we're talking, going back and forth, and just the wind blowing. Look at this here. It says, "Then we will no longer be infants when we know the gospel." And it says, "Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ, who's the risen one that we're talking about. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." What they're talking about, those limbs and things, that's us. That's the body of the church. That if we all profess to be Christians, if we all speak the truth in love, if we all live that truth, then we are the body. And how we can really reach out to individuals that are being deceived. And then when there's something that comes up and there's a complication, because it's like maybe your understanding of Scripture is being challenged, you know exactly where to go. You go right to God, because He's going to give you the wisdom. And you may find that in Scripture, you may find that in prayer, you may find that in speaking with another Christian. "Hey, this person told me this, and what does that mean to you?" Get some dialogue going. I love being challenged. I really do. Those are the points where I really, really grow. And I'm willing to stick my neck out to really listen to what it is that you have to say. But it has to fit Scripture. If you're telling me one thing and then you're telling me something else over here, and those are contrary, one of them's contrary to Scripture, then you've got to explain to me, because that doesn't make sense. And so I'm really careful about, you know, the stuff that I hear, so I am not blown away from one side to the next, and nor are you folks being blown from one side to the next. Next verse that I have, where Jesus is speaking about what has come here, and he says in John 1:17, he says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ has brought grace, which is, anybody remember what grace is? Yeah, unmerited favor. Good. Meaning basically that you're given something that you don't deserve, which is salvation. We've been given life when death is what our actual result of sin is. But there's also that truth that comes with it too. And again, we're trying to figure out what is truth, because we hear this an awful lot in Scripture. Jesus even speaks to His disciples and tells them about, really, what is it? What's my expectation of you as disciples? And it's really about following His commands, His teachings. So in John 8:31 through 32, it says, "To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" See, I love that when Scripture comes up, because it's like, yeah, we're in the right line of it. But what do you have to do in order to find truth, according to the Scripture? What's that? Right, but it says right here, just a real kind of literal, hold to what? Right. Okay. Right. Obey His word. Hold to His teachings. We may not understand that completely, but what happens is, as we hang on to those His teachings, and as we put His teachings into practice, we start to see fruit that develops from that. And our lives start to change, because we can start to see different responses from the individuals that we live with, because we're now applying what God has taught us. And you're going to find that because God is of truth and love and peace and joy and all that, that that starts to settle in on your heart and on the people around you. So that where you might have been a fuse lighter for a bomb to go off inside your house, you've now become a fire extinguisher to allow people to settle down and relax. And let's just talk this through, and we'll still deal with the issue. But now it's no longer about an explosive thing. And you'll start to see the fruit that God has for you. Well, we need that because in John 16:12-13, it says, I have much more to say and more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. So who's that? Well, these are Jesus' words, so the Holy Spirit. Right, when the Holy Spirit comes, then He's going to guide us into the truth. So who should we be listening to? But the Holy Spirit. That if you want truth and know of the truth and understand what the truth is, listen to the Holy Spirit. And you're going to say, how do you do that? Stop talking, for one. Just close your mouth and shut the world out and just listen to God. You know, we think of prayer as being something that where we're just constantly talking to God. And, you know, it's a one-way dialogue going up. I find prayer much more conducive if there's words from up coming down onto me. And then I can maybe stay there and say, oh, sorry, Lord. Or, oh, forgive me. Or, oh, I didn't know that. And all of a sudden your prayer and your mindset changes because you're really starting to listen to God. That's really the basics in how do you do it. Spend time just away from everything. Some people go out for walks, but even there you're distracted by, you know, the noise of your crunching down through the woods or the birds that come through, the squirrels that come through. You know, even that. Just be quiet and listen to the Lord because He wants to instruct you to the truth. It says so right here, right? When He comes, that's what He wants to do, is put you right into that realm over there.
That's what's going through my head is what the Lord said, Christ is risen, but He's also alive.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we know. So He's alive through the Holy Spirit, and that's how He speaks to us. So He's not just a God, He's a living God. And that's what makes a difference to me.
Yes, right. He's not some stone or statue or some manufactured thing. We were talking about that in was it in Thursday Bible study? Yeah. How is it you can worship? That's in Jeremiah. How can you worship a stone that you've made yourself and lined with gold and call that your God? I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't really understand that concept at all. But then there's times where a brother or a sister, you know, wanders off that path of truth or of God. And so what do we do? Well, Scripture even has something on that. In James 5:19-20, it says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Right? So what is our goal? To bring him back from what? To what? Yeah. Back to the truth of what we have before us. Now, there are times, and I know this sounds hard and everything, but God sometimes just lets us go. He allows us to go through some struggles so that maybe we can come back to Him. But look what He says in Romans, right? To those that were, Romans 1:24-25. He says, therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the disregard of their bodies with one another. Right? And this is what the people did, because this is why God let them go. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, who's the liar?
Satan.
Satan himself. Right? So they've decided to believe Satan and maybe their own lustful desires. And what do? And they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. That maybe that they will come to the Lord and understand that the ways that they have chosen are not the way of truth. Don't we do that as individuals? Sometimes when we're seeking, what do? We latch on to anything that's over here because that will give me pleasure. That will give me escape from whatever it is that I'm doing. It might be a relationship with another person. It might be the ecstasy that sometimes you can come that comes from drugs or from sex or from making a lot of money or being important in somebody else's lives. But all those things are shallow. Those are temporary. What God wants you to do is to find your emptiness or fill your emptiness with Him. With the truth. All right, so we're going to be, again, what is all this truth about? Well, we're finally going to get to some scripture that's going to explain that a little bit here. And it's going to just solve the whole problem that we have, all right, as we've been going along this. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Now, listen closely because it's going to tell us what the truth is. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So what is the truth? Just real simple. What is the truth? The gospel. Now, how many people here, I don't have to raise your hand, this is going to be one of those questions where I want you to think about it, could actually tell me in a very short paragraph and very clearly and concisely tell me what the gospel is? Now, you know, like I said, you don't have to shout anything out. And how many people here might be a little confused about being able to say what the gospel is? Because that's the definition of what the truth is. And if you don't know what the gospel is, then you don't know what truth is. So I want to challenge you to make sure that you know what the gospel is. I want you to research that. Because then you'll find the truth. And the truth will set you free. But if you don't know the gospel, then you just don't have it. You don't have the truth that we're talking about. Let's read on. Because there's some rewards for knowing the truth and accepting the truth. It says, having believed, you were marked with Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. You see, there's huge rewards for knowing the truth. And I'm not just talking about knowing in your head, but believing into that truth. Living that truth. But we're settled. Now we know what the truth is. And I'm thinking, that is so good. So I was going through some more scripture here, and I'm thinking, you guys need to hear this too. So in Colossians 1 through 3 and 6, it says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. And the saints would just be other believers. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Another scripture, a different book, relating to the same thing. We know now what truth is, the gospel. All right? And the fruit that comes from that, and the result, he says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Remember, when Jesus came, he came in what? Grace and truth. And again, it fits the scripture that we had. Remember, we're always talking about being blown back and forth. Everything that we have has to fit scripture. But we've got that the truth is the gospel. Do we have that? Yes, good. Look at this scripture that we have next in John 14, 3 or 6. Jesus answered them, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Wait, I thought the gospel was the truth. Now Jesus is the truth? Oh, I'm getting a little confused. So I found another scripture that's going to solve this whole problem here, right? All right. 1 John, and it's 5, 6 through 8. It says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Oh, wait. What? No, wait. This is really getting confusing. It says, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three in agreement. Wait, I thought the gospel was the truth, and now Jesus is the truth. Now the Holy Spirit is the truth. Is that... We're not done yet. I've got another scripture. This is my only Old Testament one that I've got in Psalms 31:5, and it says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of... Wait! The gospel is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. The Father is the truth. Who's really the truth? All of them. Because that's who God is. God is the truth. So if you want the truth, what do you have to have? God. A lot of times we've always considered the truth as being some scientific notation or some scientific paper that has done experiment, that when you drop this pen, it falls to the floor. That's the truth. And that's how we understand truth. But from a biblical perspective, that's not the type of truth that we have been talking about in all these other scriptures. When we're talking about the truth, we're talking about God Himself and everything about God. To me, that's an important revelation that in our walk, we shouldn't be confused about what the truth is. There's many people that will tell you different truths, but there's only one truth. Remember, Jesus came to testify to the truth. That's the truth that we need to be looking at. I've got one more scripture, and then I have a quote. In Revelation 3:4, when we're talking about the seven churches, and this one here is to the Laodicea church that was written. He says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. And he goes on, the words of God are true. And I want you to know that everything about God is true. Because when we're looking to find something solid in which to rest our feet on, when we're trying to get through a problem and there just seems to be no end to that, I tell you now that you can bank on God's word. Because it is the truth, through and through. I call it this, the absolute truth. That's what we need to hang our coats on. Right here. Don't go to the nearest and most convenient place. Go to the place where there's truth. And that truth reigns forever and ever and ever. I'm sure you're going to find places, and maybe we get to the point where we start traveling in space and going to different things. There'll be certain anomalies there that when you drop the pencil or the pen, it doesn't fall, but it goes up. And that's going to just defy the scientists. Because then they have to change what their truth is. With God, you never have to change what the truth is, because God is the same as He was, as He is now, as He will be in the future. We serve an unchanging God. An absolute God, truth God. This is one a quote that I found. I really like this, just because it resonates. It comes from a guy, I don't remember his name there, Alfred Jeffson, yeah, right. And he's a study theologian of the Old Testament, New Testament stuff. And this is what he said. Truth is that which is consistent and unchangeable. Something on which someone can rely, which can prove to be true in the future. I like that because it kind of puts us down to the simple, but there's only one person that can fit that definition. Now, I'm a preacher. Can anybody guess who that one person is?
Jesus.
God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three Godheads in one. That is the only one that fits that definition. So if you want to find truth, if you want to find a way to be set free from the lies of Satan, if you want stability in your life, if you want to know what truth really is, then I beg you to seek God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, to know Him, to love Him. Because He loves you. And this gospel is simple. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have lasting life. That's the gospel. That's the truth. Amen? Lord, I just thank You for this word today. I think that's enough. As we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.